The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my old buddy. Boy, it's good to see Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. Ray and I go back a long way, actually, the early days of the Buckmaster show. 10-year anniversary of Buckmaster will be coming up the first week in January, so we'll be launching into a second decade. Hard to believe. Welcome to the program. It's Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November the 25th, 2020. Trying our darndest here to bring folks together in a very difficult time. It's been really a tough time for everybody since mid-March, but we're doing our best right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. A voice reaching out to everybody here that can hear my voice on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback then the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We begin with Democrat Adelita Grijalva by a 2-1 margin. Adelita Cruz to victory over Republican Fernando Gonzalez to capture the Pima County supervisorial seat in District Number 5. Of course, that's the district that was represented by my friend Richard Elias, who passed away in March while serving in his 18th year on the board. Adelita will be very busy in the new year. She's also an at-large member of the 5-member TUSD Governing Board, where she has served for 18 years. Her current term will end the end of 2022. Let's go now on the live line. Adelita, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well, and thank you for asking on this Thanksgiving Eve. First of all, let me extend my congratulations to you for your election to the Pima County Supervisorial Board. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about how will this swearing in go? When is that going to be happening? When will you officially become a board member?
Well, I know that we have to be sworn in before the 31st, so there isn't a gap, and we're just trying to figure out the details of that now. Usually, with the TUSD board, you know, I can schedule something private, which is what I'm hoping to do, something outside, so I can invite my family and just a few people to sort of be a witness, and then I think at the first meeting of the Board of Supervisors, we'll have a swearing in right before that meeting as well.
You're going to have your hands full with the TUSD board. Can you juggle both of them, Adelita?
I can. What is going to happen here is that I'm going to leave my position with Pima County Teen Court, a position that I have held and love. I've been a part of that program for 25 years. And so I'm essentially switching one full-time job for another full-time job. And then my service on the board, I will continue and hopefully continue to be and get a little more active in our community and the different neighborhoods that encompass District 5.
Well, there's so much to talk about, and we're going to kind of go back and forth between TUSD and the supervisorial position. What do you see as the major challenge now as this board, which will be composed, there'll be some new faces. Rex Scott will be joining in my district, in the Foothills, District 1. Adelita, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is the first time we've had a Democrat in District 1 going back to 1972.
So, I did know that. I had a feeling Rex was going to be able to pull it out because, you know, he was a principal in TUSD, and we've continued to stay in touch as he's moved on to other districts, and I think that he's going. I'm very much looking forward to working with him on the board as well as with Dr. Matt Hines. I think that especially in this really critical time in our community, and you know, trying to work through the COVID pandemic and then the recovery after that, I think his voice is going to be really critical. And so I also am looking forward to working with Sharon Bronson. I think her experience and historical knowledge of what's happened in Pima County and why is going to be really critical. And I have reached out to Supervisor Christie as well, just to extend my congratulations and introduce myself, and that we look forward, you know, I look forward to being able to work with him on making Pima County better.
Yeah, everybody's going to have to work together, Adelita, because this is a huge challenge with the pandemic. I'm looking at these daily numbers. I don't like what I see. I think we went over today statewide. Ray, did you have that available for me to pull up? I think it's over 4,000. Yeah, it's over 4,000. Mm-hmm. I think we're over 600 here in Pima County. I don't like these numbers, Adelita.
I don't either. And I think a lot of it is, you know, I mean, this is as bad as we've ever seen it. And unfortunately, because I think that there's just, at some point, people get kind of tired of being, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, everyone wants to get back to their normal life. I think that, you know, when the holidays, when we were looking at this at the end of last school year, we're like, okay, so by the time, you know, Halloween comes around, we should be in a better spot. And unfortunately, as the numbers continue to increase, you know, our lives can't get back to normal until we get a handle on this pandemic. And really, I think until there's a vaccine. I know that there's a lot of things that we can do as a community to really keep each other safe. And I'm hoping that with more of us in elected office that, you know, really are pushing for the fact that just put some material on your face and it will help save lives. I'm hoping that we can get over this sentiment of anti-masking and just, you know, it is proven statistically that it will make a difference. And so I'm hoping that we can. But I am looking for leadership from the governor, because really the rest of us, our hands are tied for the most part. We can have voluntary curfews, but we can't have stay-at-home orders. That's only something that he can do.
This
until that happens, we're going to continue to have these issues.
This voluntary curfew is pretty much aimed at bars, right? I guess it's 10 o'clock. Everybody should be home.
Right. I mean, and I also think in general, you know, we had some stores that were staying open later, you know, I know because of the holiday season.
Sure.
And the fact that a lot of stores have had a lot less traffic than usual, you know, they're extending their hours to 11, same with grocery stores. And so when all of these businesses are open, the rest of us will be out too, trying to, you know, maybe shop at alternate hours to avoid crowds and that kind of thing. So we all have to work together. And I think a lot of information is important. I'm very appreciative of the increased opportunities to test, but even right now in this holiday season, the wait is into December to get a test. And so, you know, as much as people want to be safe and trying to get together with family, this is just not the year to do that.
Yeah, I am so disappointed that this nation has not been able to come up with a quickie test for this thing that could be done at home. I hear it's coming, but boy, we're, 9 months, 10 months into this this deal? I wish we had had something by now where people could test, so they could do a quick test, an inexpensive test at home, and say, "Oh my goodness, I'm testing positive. I'm not going out. I'm not going over to grandma's for Thanksgiving." That's what I wish had happened. It hasn't happened, so we've got to be careful. We're just a few, really, in some cases, weeks away from getting vaccine into people. First up will be our healthcare workers, then those over 65. So we've got to hang on, Adelita.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I really do. And I think that, you know, we're not getting together. We usually, this Thanksgiving is my dad's favorite holiday. It's my kids' favorite holiday. We always get together in a big group. And this isn't going to happen this year. My sister isn't coming over. We're all isolating, which is why I couldn't join you in the studio, because I just got a COVID test. I get two a week just because I do go out into the community. And, you know, I want to be as safe as possible. I know many of our community members do. And these holidays really tug at your heartstrings because, you know, you want to be together, but this just isn't the year.
No, it isn't. Let's try to work in caller Matt before we talk about a subject that everybody agrees on. And I'll be quizzing Adelita about her favorite pie after we hear from Matt. In fact, Matt, what is your favorite pie before we do the Mona's commercial?
It's always been apple pie. I'm a tried and true. Uh-huh. And I sort of get disappointed when, you know, pumpkin takes over for the holidays and I don't see my apple pie.
What about you, Adelita? Do you prefer a traditional pumpkin pie?
I don't. Sadly, pumpkin is not my favorite. My Nana's favorite is Lemon Supreme from Village Inn, so that has now become my favorite.
Okay. Matt, what's your question?
Well, first of all, congratulations to you and all fellow winners. You probably are the most experienced people to ever become supervisors right out of the gate. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen the level of knowledge that you just outlined with Matt Hines and with Rex. Mm-hmm. Between the three of you, I mean, we are just hitting it out of the park on knowledge and experience. But my question is, just like the Biden presidential transition team has been receiving briefings, and Senator Mark Kelly and his transition team has been receiving briefings, I just hope to hear that Chuck and his team have scheduled briefings for you guys so that you are up to speed, because this is the one time in history that we will ever experience that you're coming into office, that we need you guys up and running on making pivotal decisions, especially, you know, the county bought an entire building to try and plan for it. The question is, was it the right building? Does it have the capacity? Is it capable of cold weather cold storage if that's the vaccine Arizona ultimately gets? Because ultimately, you're going to get what the federal government and the manufacturers are ultimately going to send down state by state.
What about that? Are we ready for the vaccine, Adelita?
Well, and I know that we have a team that is working on it. I have actually asked, and I know that both, I think all of my colleagues have asked for briefings and information, and so we're ready to go on day one. I'm anticipating that rollout as far as briefings to be coming to me right after the Thanksgiving holiday. But I have asked for it, and I'm confident that we'll have that.
All right, let's pause right here, Adelita, to talk about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. Yesterday, I made a real hit here, Adelita, at the station. I brought in a Danish Kringle from Mona's Danish Bakery, and I'm telling you, it didn't last long. We kept our numbers here in the station to not a lot of people, so that Kringle went really fast with the group that was here. Steve and his team up at Mona's northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, they're ready right now. You can still get an order in until 2:00 this afternoon, not only for pies, but for your dinner rolls. So check out monasdanishbakery.com. And how about a Danish Kringle for Thanksgiving morning as you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade? Yes, there will be a parade this year. A lot of it has been videotaped, but they're going to have a parade. And how about a Kringle to go with it? It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Yeah, the sounds of Chicago. Beginnings, and we are beginning the Thanksgiving 2020 week. It is Thanksgiving Eve. It's Buckmaster and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line guests appear courtesy Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On the live line is Adelita Grijalva, newly elected Pima County Supervisor in District 5. Adelita, you were mentioning Sharon Bronson. You've known Sharon for years. I first met Sharon back in 1988 when I came to town, and she was an activist for conservation in this town. And that's what our caller David wants to talk with you about, the Sonoran Conservation Plan. Go ahead, David.
Okay, great. I live in the northwest side near Marana, and Marana's just aggressively over the years annexed and rezoned for urban sprawl. And then the pigmail got listed, and that was a good thing because that put the brakes on it. But when it got delisted, it unleashed a tidal wave of urban sprawl. As a result, local governments had to start spending money hand over fist on major capital improvements to serve all the new development. And my taxes went from $1,500 over $5,000 to pay the bill for it. And so I'm very concerned about the rate we're destroying the desert and turning into cookie cutter sprawl. And I looked at the Sunday paper, and this massive Rocky K development is starting up. Of course, that was rezoned many, many years ago. But still, the cost that the taxpayer has to bear to cover the cost of all these booming housing developments is just atrocious.
All right, Adelita, David brings up a good point. We are back kind of in a building mode here with housing is really booming, isn't it, right now? It's off the charts. And David was referring to that piece in the Star. That looked like some beautiful desert land. And David's concerned about blading it and putting homes there. That's always been a concern for many people here in this town.
It has, and that's a reason why the Sonoran Conservation Plan exists. I think that it's important for us to look at how much we can reinvest in existing neighborhoods. We do have neighborhoods that really just need some support and then would be wonderful starter homes or for a lot of families. I know that the inventory is really low right now for starter homes in a lot of neighborhoods. You put up a house and hours later there's already an offer and the amounts are going really over what is kind of standard, I think, or expected for our neighborhoods. And so it really is pushing out opportunities for first-time homebuyers to get in to different neighborhoods. So I think it's a problem that we really have to look at and how do we balance the need for homes and also while preserving our beautiful desert. And, you know, it really is the reason why so many people come. It is a huge economic driver for Arizona and for Pima County. And so we're going to have to balance the growth with preservation, and I'm ready to do that.
All right, let's switch now over to your position with TUSD. And by the way, for those who are worried that Adelita is now double dipping, taking a huge salary for the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and they're saying, look, she's also got all that money that she makes with the TUSD governing board.
Yeah.
Folks, that TUSD position is a voluntary position. There's no pay.
It is. Yeah. There is no pay. I don't take mileage. When we used to have meetings in person, we'd get a snack, like a sandwich or something for, because we're there for 8 hours. But I'm proud to serve and represent TUSD on that board.
You know, looking at 2021, I think realistically, until we get this vaccine, pretty much hopefully everybody's going to be vaccinated by April or May. I don't see a normal school year here until the fall of 2021. That's my realistic assessment. I want to hear what you think.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that many, many families, an overwhelming number in the schools that my children attend wanted to keep children remote. And so I think that that's going to continue to be a demand from our community. And, you know, there were some classes when we were talking about hybrid and putting it out there that we were going to be opening classes. Some schools had under 10% that wanted to attend in person and others had 69%. So it really also highlights the diversity and different needs in our communities and how every individual community school is different.
Food scarcity is a huge problem, food need in this community. And you know, a lot of the lower income areas do depend on the kids getting meals, doesn't it?
They do. And that was one of the best things that we did early on as soon as we started closing schools last year and it continued through the summer is that we have a really amazing and robust delivery service for meals. And now we're putting meals together for the week so families don't have to run out to meet the bus every day. They can get a week's worth of meals. And that just makes it a lot more convenient for so many families. So I think TUSD has really been very innovative and responsive to how we address the need for food in our community. And I'm very proud of that effort.
Is there any learning going on in person in the district right now? I know it's called Dr. Trujillo, who's been very good about coming on the program. He comes usually every month or so. He calls it a hybrid system. Are we still in that?
We really are. We have learning spaces at our schools. So what it is that we are providing an opportunity for children to be on campus because either they don't have someone at home to help support them. They don't have good internet connectivity. They focus better on our campuses. And so for a lot of our students, working at home alone is just not an option. And so what is happening is that we have spaces in every single one of our schools for students, and they are still working with their teachers online, but they do have an actual person to support them on campus.
Virtual learning is very difficult. I know it's been a real challenge, and it concerns me, and I know our listeners, about some of these students who we've really lost track of. Adelita Grijalva, they've kind of fallen through the cracks. This is a big problem.
It is a big problem, and it's a big problem for every school. Every school district, on average across the nation and in the state, has lost between 5% and 10%. Of enrollment. I think some parents are opting, which, you know, once you're in this virtual environment, you can appreciate why some parents are saying, you know what, I'm just going to wait this year out and then we'll start the next year fresh. We have a lot of students, especially parents of younger children, that are waiting and delaying the start of kindergarten in order to have a more traditional kindergarten and beginning of their school year experience for their child. And I respect all of those decisions. My concern is greatly with those students that we've just, we can't connect with. Either they've, you know, moved to another place, maybe they're enrolled in another school, but we don't have the information. And that is the real worry, because
we
really do need to support those children through this really difficult transition.
All right.
Online learning is difficult. As a mom of three, it is super difficult.
Yes, it is. Adelita Grijalva, thank you very much for joining us. We'll look forward to a monthly visit with you. And my best to you and your family on this Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. To you, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks
to everyone.
A lot. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
One of my favorite bump pieces, that's music, The Tin Man from America. It's Buckmaster on this Thanksgiving Eve in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, like Adelita Grijalva, who we just had on the live line. The guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Thanks to Sean and his team for supporting us, and happy Thanksgiving, Sean, for your support. And of course, Green Things. I brought this up yesterday on the show. You know, a lot of people are going to be alone tomorrow on Thanksgiving. I came up with this idea. How about if you think you've got a neighbor who is alone, there's someone that you would like to reach out to, you can't really invite them over for Thanksgiving this year. You'd like to, but just because of the concerns about COVID, these people are going to be home alone. How about picking up a poinsettia or a couple of them from Green Things at 3384 East River Road? You know, they grow thousands of these poinsettias every year in every imaginable color. They're ready right now. Stop by, pick one up. They're not very expensive, and it would be a wonderful gesture. Say you've got a neighbor next door all alone. Leave the poinsettia at the front door, knock or give them a call and say there's a little something for you there. This would really cheer up some people who are going to be through this Thanksgiving alone. So check it out, Green Things over at 3384 East River Road. Their number, their website, greenthingsaz.com. So check it out. Well, Father Robert Hendrickson is with us. Father Robert is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, which is now the largest congregation-wise in the state of Arizona, largest Episcopal Church. Father Robert is also one of two dozen Buckmaster Show regular contributors. I'm just so proud of the team that we've put together. He is our contributor on faith and spirituality. What a resume this guy has for being in his early 40s. At like 24, he was like the youngest marketing director for Brooks Brothers. Then he got the call to be with the Lord. He changed completely his direction. Anyway, it's good to see you, Father Robert.
It's great to see you as always. Thanks for having me.
You know, one of my favorite services up at St. Philip's is the Thanksgiving service. I always like to start my Thanksgiving, Ann and I like to go to church, and I love the song, the hymn, We Gather Together. That's kind of the iconic song of hymn for Thanksgiving. Well, Father, we're not going to be gathering together, as I was just talking about. There are a lot of lonely people this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest things about this whole year, really, has been that inability to be together, you know, one with another. And that particular hymn, I think, stirs a lot of people's hearts. And it because I think it points toward two things. One is that we gather, one is that gathering together, but then the purpose of the time together, which is that giving thanks for all of our blessings. And so to not be able to do that together in person is I think heartbreaking, but I also think that it's an opportunity for folks to remember again how crucial that being together is to their lives, how crucial those relationships are. It's very easy to get disconnected, as you know, in this sort of modern world where we run from device to device and we you know, have meeting after meeting. And it's very easy to forget the folks who made us who we are and to whom we're most connected. My hope is that in this time of physical distance, that it actually reminds us of what's most important to us again.
There's actually a new book called We Gather Together by best-selling author Denise Kerman, and the book was reviewed in the Weekend Wall Street Journal last week. I'm just going to read a sentence or two from that review. Perhaps then it's necessary more than ever to be grateful for what we have, or so the best-selling author Denise Kerman reminds us in her new book, We Gather Together, suggesting that thankfulness, Father Robert, is a state of mind or nourishing as any feast. She declares grace isn't something we say but bestow. It's an active choice. In fact, many psychiatrists and neuroscientists, she asserts, believe that gratitude practice is good for the body and soul.
Absolutely. Often you notice over time that when you study theology over the course of history, you come to realize that good theology is often good social science. And we see now there are studies that have been done not that long ago where people who were asked for 12 weeks to write five things, not a huge list, but once a week to write five things about which they were thankful, to express their gratitude. And what they discovered at the end of 12 weeks of doing that is that when you did an fMRI, their prefrontal cortex operated differently.
Really?
Than folks who had not done that gratitude work. So it physically changes the way we see the world, the way we think about the world. They also reported, they reported less stress. They reported fewer physical ailments. Those who were closest to them, family and friends, described them differently, used different adjectives, and they were positive adjectives to describe them. So that work of gratitude for 12 weeks, in many ways, changed who they were and how they saw the world. The sociologist George Simmel says that gratitude is the moral memory of mankind, because it's the thing that connects us to the past. It makes us grateful for what we've received, and it prepares us to be the kind of ancestors that maybe we hope we can be for the next generation after us.
What are some of the things each morning that you are most grateful for in your morning meditation and prayer?
Every day for me, it begins with my wife and kids. Who I am now and where I am now because of my wife, who, she was a very faithful Methodist, and I was a not so faithful Catholic. And through good evangelism work on her part, I got closer and closer to God. And for that, I give thanks every day.
Was she instrumental in the change that happened in your life where you discovered that you would be taking a different path, a religious path?
Absolutely. When we were, at one point in our dating time, I was a pretty avowed atheist,
really?
pretty aggressively. So, I had
is amazing.
Yeah, I had a bumper sticker on my car that said, "If you want to live in a religious country, move to Iran." That's how sort of anti-religious I was.
Wow.
And what I realized over time is, when I was younger, I lost my mother and my sister and what I realized over time is that I was angry at God. I didn't not believe in God. I was angry at God, which are very different things. And she helped me understand that difference. And so once that sort of way of seeing that loss in the past had been transformed through that kind of through that relationship, it changed sort of the trajectory of my life entirely. And so that is something that I'm profoundly thankful for.
Anger is a platform for those that say they turn basically against God.
Well, they turn against everything.
The
thing is, when what you put at the center of your life is what's at the center of your life. And what I see more and more now, and this gets back in some ways to this gratitude question, what I see more and more now is people who just want to put anger in the middle of their life. So they watch stuff that makes them angry. They scroll on social media until their heart rate is racing and they don't know why. Right. So what so many of us are doing right now is we're placing at the center of our lives the things that most irritate, aggravate, and incite us. And we're crowding out the opportunities for gratitude, for love, for connection. Those are the things that actually make us human. It's not sort of being full of rage all the time. So it's a time where I think we have to be reminded again to bring ourselves back to a sort of centered place in which we actually fall in love again with ourselves, with our neighbors, with God. But that's a hard thing to do in such an angry time.
Yeah, and before we take the break, I want to talk a little bit about grace. Grace is something that if you're really angry, grace just is something that's very foreign to you.
Yeah, it's a bit like water off a duck's back. I mean, when you're so angry, it becomes almost impossible to envision the possibility that someone else is fundamentally good or has good intentions. I mean, because we get to the point where all we can see is the anger, or all we can see is the source of division, and we so quickly lose sight of the fact that we're deeply interconnected and. Our humanity depends on that interconnection.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll have more with Father Robert Hendrickson of St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. It's Buckmaster on this Thanksgiving Eve in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The sounds of everybody's talking, and that's what we do here on the Buckmaster Show. We talk in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. One of our longtime sponsors, and I am so thankful I'm thankful for a roster of a 24 or so, not only contributors, but great supporters. I call them partners that make this program possible. One of them, not only Green Things, but Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, these are very hard times. A lot of people are just dreaming of getting away. That day will come again for New Mexico and other places. Right now, New Mexico is kind of, you know, they've tightened up. It's not really, they're not really welcoming out-of-state visitors, but they are welcoming you to go to start planning for, how about the spring? Hopefully by then things will open up. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Great list there of so many things to do. Outdoor activities. That is a beautiful area, about 3 hours from Tucson. The Gila National Wilderness is there. The world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. And there's some great places to stay as well. Again, the website, southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now on this Thanksgiving Eve with Father Robert Hendrickson. He's our Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. He's rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. There are approximately 2,000 very proud Episcopalians there, and I'm one of them at St. Philip's, and that congregation has now grown to the largest Episcopal church in the state of Arizona. These are, you know, after the election, we were talking in our first segment, Father Robert, about the anger. There's still so much anger there. My friend, Bishop Kakanis, who's now Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Tucson, wrote in the Arizona Daily Star, had an op-ed a couple of days ago, in a divided nation, reconciliation is still possible. Do you agree with your friend, Bishop Kakanis?
Well, I'm not surprised that someone as sort of wise as him would say that, because I think it's absolutely true. And I would even go further than saying it's possible to saying it's necessary. I mean, if we're going to move forward as one country, one community, we've got to find our way through this. I mean, an example that comes to mind for me is in 1960, 5% of Republicans and 4% of Democrats said they would be upset if their child married someone of the other party. That number now is more like 49% of Republicans and 35% of Democrats would say that they would be upset if their child marries someone of the other party. That seems like a small thing, but when even the way we view romance is shaped by our politics, that's problematic. And it's getting to the point now where you know, politics has now become a lifestyle brand. As someone who worked in brand marketing before,
sure,
it's now become sort of shorthand as a way we define ourselves, and worse, the way we disqualify other people from being worthy of our attention or being worthy of being listened to. And you know, when you think of all the gifts that all of us bring to the table, all from all over the political spectrum, it is devastating. I mean, Scripture has the line, you know, you can't say, one part of the body can't say to the other, I have no need of you. And I feel the same way about our communities. We can't look at each other and say, I have no need of you, because down that path lies some really dire consequences, I think.
Let's talk a little bit about how a religion worshiping has changed so dramatically with COVID, how it's changed, and now we're in this virtual environment, not only for education, but that's also affected our religious services. How is it all going to play out here as hopefully folks get a vaccine in their arms within a couple of months? Will there be like a gradual kind of return to one-on-one services? Is that how you see it? What's your vision for this?
Yeah, our plan is that we hope in the early spring to resume small gatherings of 50 people or fewer.
Kind of limited.
Yeah, 50 or fewer outdoors, probably.
Mm-hmm. And there is beautiful outdoor space at St. Philip's. You've got some great gardens there.
That's right. Yeah. And then our hope is that as the vaccine is more widely available, right, then we'll gradually expand. And our hope, you know, our current plan has us being back in sort of full swing in October. So let's hope that if everything plays out like it's supposed to, then that's our intent. And when that happens, we're going to get every musician in Tucson to play the biggest service you've ever seen. So that's our hope.
I will not be hearing your sermon live this year. If you were to give it, and are you going to do some things on virtual for Thanksgiving?
We do. No? We have a service, a virtual service or online service, so folks can tune into that at 12 o'clock noon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
Mm-hmm. What will your message be?
Well, someone else is preaching, so I can get the day off to cook.
If you were to be giving a message, you know, what would it be in this very difficult, unusual time?
Yeah, I think if I were, I would want to get back to that message about gratitude that we started with, because I think, you know, Irenaeus, one of the sort of third century scholars of the church, said the glory of God is the human being fully alive. And for me, I think gratitude is one of those things that unlocks the ability for us to be fully alive, because it brings us back to the place over and over again where we see the world through the lens of possibility and through the lens of what we've been given. And as Americans, we don't love the idea of being dependent on anybody. We don't love the idea that we haven't earned what we have. There's a great scene in The Simpsons, for, I can't remember what, you know, what episode, but in The Simpsons, there's a scene where somebody says, ask Bart to say a prayer at dinner. And he says, dear God, we paid for all this. Thanks for it anyway, I guess. And I think that's sort of the American attitude is, well, we've earned it, so, you know, it's our right. And I think what we've got to be reminded of again and again is that everything we have is on loan. Everything we have is a gift. And if we can approach life that way, it opens up the way we see the world in dramatic ways, and it makes us more compassionate, more connected, more willing to chip in and serve. My hope, that would be my Thanksgiving message, would be to bring us back to that sense of being grateful, and being grateful especially in the midst of challenging times when it feels like there's so much out there that's challenging us. Gets back to what I was saying before, what we put at the center of our lives is at the center, and if we can put gratitude at the center of our lives, that I think opens us up to a much more compassionate and decent world, basically.
You know, I was thinking back, you know, you're saying you were a one-time atheist, and, you know, atheists like to say, well, I'm a non-believer, but in effect, they are believers, aren't they? They supposedly believe in no God or anything. So they are believing in something.
Absolutely. No, well, it's true. You know, the theology used to be called the sort of queen of the sciences, because basically every field of endeavor, every field of inquiry is some kind of theology. You're saying something about the purpose, what's at the heart of the world. So, you know, it's if you don't believe in God, and you look at another human being, they become, I think for me, the way I see it is they, human beings and nature all become sort of one more means that our needs can be gratified. And I think that if you look at those things, nature and other human beings, as something that has been created out of the very stuff of God, that necessarily changes the way you encounter them. It changes the way you see creation, the world, your community, and those people who are closest to you in your life. They don't become another means of consumption, but they become someone you have to cherish and adore.
Now, what about your cooking? I didn't get a chance to ask you yet. Of course, Mona's Danish Bakery is one of our big sponsors. What about your pie favorites?
So I have to have a strong disagreement with your previous guest. I love pumpkin pie.
You do like the traditional
absolutely.
Pumpkin.
Absolutely. I also love chocolate chess pie, which is, I think, comes from having lived in the South.
Chocolate chess. Yes. That would be, obviously, there's chocolate. Is it like a chocolate cream pie?
It's like a chocolate cream pie, but cream in the sense that it is sort of dense. It's almost fudge-like, not quite fudge-like.
Wow.
It's decadent and glorious, and is one of the things that we look forward to in our house for Thanksgiving.
You're going to have that on the table tomorrow?
There are two on the table right now, so you're keeping me from getting to that.
Yeah, you'll be doing quite a bit of cooking tomorrow, and my very best to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's listening.
Thank you very much. Father Robert Hendrickson, always a pleasure to talk with Father Robert. He's the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. That's going to wrap it up. Kind of a shortened week for us doing live programs. However, we've got a couple of really great best of programs. Whenever I hear best of in the business, I think, well, you know, I like to put together programs. They've only been heard once, and they're worth a second listen, and they will be available for you tomorrow on Thanksgiving and Friday. So my voice will be here for sure with you on Thanksgiving and the day after, and then I'll be back live on Monday. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe, everybody.